Do you bring your Bible tonight, your app or something? So go to your Bibles tonight to a couple of, well, we go for a few scriptures. Did you come to hear something from the Lord? Yes. We got to believe. Thank God for His Word. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for His guidance and wonderful Holy Spirit. So wonderful Holy Spirit, we thank You so much by the name of the Lord Jesus. That You're here, You're the great teacher. You make everything so sweet, so wonderful. So Holy Spirit, we invite You. Jesus said You are helper. When Paul prayed, he said, "Let my teaching and my preaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit, in a power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the wisdom of God." Thank You that our faith will stand on the Word of God. Thank You, Lord God, may signs and wonders, miracles. It is possible that someone here would get a miracle tonight. It is possible that someone watching who would believe to receive. So we're going to get our expectors out. We're going to open our hearts, our minds, and put aside the thoughts of the day. And we're going to concentrate on what Your Word says today. What will be spoken will be something that will save our lives. That this Word is an eternal Word. That it will come out of our spirit at a time of need. When we need it, it will rise up in our hearts, because the Holy Spirit will bring that up to us and remind us about what You said. So thank You for all the prophecies that were said about us from the time we were young and when we came to the Lord, that they'll be fulfilled. Thank You for prosperity, success, preservation, safety, and healing and health in the name of Jesus. Thank You in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me tonight in your scriptures. We're going to look at the Word together. Our topic tonight is the life of victory. The life of victory, and our title of our message is Jesus is the Waymaker. Let's look at the text, John 14:6, and I'm going to look at three or four important words that Jesus said, but really has an impact on our lives today. And so, let us go to John chapter 14, verse 6, King James. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way." Jesus is the way. Now I want you to see here, he says, Jesus is speaking about himself. He said, I am the way. The only way to fix your problem is the way Jesus wants it. Amen. Amen? Amen? Jesus' way is the best way. And we can see that He is the way. He's the way to the Father. He'll show us how to get there, how to get things done. He also said He's the truth. Well, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the living Word of God. He's the personified Word that walked this earth and demonstrated how God would do things. That's how He's the way. And what He said, what He had done, is the way we should do things. He also said that he's not only the way, but the truth, but he's also the life. There's no life other than Jesus. I think it's the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, verse 12, I think it is, somewhere around there. He says that there's no salvation in any other. No salvation. There's no other way of salvation. The word salvation is a big word. It means, you know, lots of things other than being born again and coming to heaven. There's more to it. God adds on to salvation. You know, salvation is good for here and after. So salvation, you know, it talks about that salvation is also talks about victory and healing, deliverance. If you need deliverance tonight, if you need healing, if you need prosperity, success, God will make you a success out of your cheap life. Amen? Your puny little life. He'll make something out of you. Praise God. Amen? That's how God will talk to you sometime. The Lord, I heard the Lord one time, Brother Hagin said that the Holy Spirit can get smart on you. He'll tell you stuff. And he does. He'll talk to you like you need to be talked to. I propose tonight as an idea from the scriptures that God will make a way where there's no other way. Amen. Say, God will make a way, where there's no other way. See, somebody is going to tell you it's impossible for you to get a thrift store in Thunder Bay, a super thrift store. But you know, Jesus is the way. Somebody's going to say, you can't get sober without going and doing this or doing that, but Jesus is the way. Amen. Right? And so he is the way. He's the only way. He's the truth and life. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. And so my apparatus here is acting up for some reason. Let's check this out a little bit further. So God made a way for the people of Israel. You know the story about the Israelites. They were slaves in Israel. They were slaves in Egypt for many, many years. God sent a man by the name of Moses to rescue them. And God led him. But you know how many times, you know, Moses did some things prematurely, like some of y'all did. Try to help God out. But you can't help God out. Even if you know something is true and God wants you to go a certain direction, it might not be right away or that moment. You got to be patient with God and let Him work things out, because sometimes we want to force things in our own way because we're impatient. We got to run the race with patience, Hebrews 12:2 says. The race that is set before us, each one of us has our own race. Don't try to ride in somebody else's race. Thanks. God made a way for people, the people of Israel, to cross the sea, the Red Sea, or the Black Sea, whatever black color it was, the sea. God made a way for Israel to cross the sea on dry land. See, Pharaoh and his army was marching. He let them go because he had to, because the man of God with signs and wonders came, got them, Moses, his deliverer, brought them out, then he changed his mind about it. You see, the devil can let you go for a period of time, but he's going to change his mind at some point. He's going to wait for an opportune time to get you back out there. That's true. He'll send all kinds of ways to bring you. He not only hard times, but he'll bring good times to you to bring you back. The garlics and the licks and... Remember that story? If you don't know the story, you better read about the Israelites. They thought about, oh, it's better to be a slave in Israel. I'm missing the garlics and onions. Do you remember that? So Pharaoh is chasing them, trying to catch up to them, and he got up to them, and they got nowhere to go with the army coming behind them and the seas in front of them. How do you get through the sea? And there's mountains on each side and enemies on the other side, and there's nowhere to turn. They're being pursued by the enemy. And some of you are all like that right now because you're being pursued by the enemy. There's nowhere else to turn but look up. Is this talking to somebody tonight or is this me? Because I'm very happy about this message. I don't know if I'm the only one preaching to myself. I'm really happy about it. Anybody beside me? Can you lift your hands up and say, thank God?
Thank God.
Amen. So they're being pursued by Pharaoh. His name is not Pharaoh. That's my Ojibwe-ness coming out. I can't always, say the right things. Like, I come from Suckle Creek. I have to watch. Pharaoh, that's right. Isn't a pharaoh a little animal? A ferret. Okay, yeah, ferret. Yeah. So God made a way for the people of Israel to cross the sea on dry land. Notice that, but he also made a way for them to make, he made a roadway, everybody say a roadway. He made a roadway for them to cross the desert to get to the promised land. You know, that desert, it was a hard place to be. And this is, a story, this story of the Israelites, understand this, is a story about you and me put in the Bible for us to learn from the examples of the Israelites. And God had to pick a people as an example so that all the rest of the world can watch God work through a group of people so that we can follow what they did or not do. That's what the Bible tells us. Romans chapter, chapter 15, 1 to 5 there. You can look at that later on. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 6 or 1 to 5. It says that these things were written for our example of what happened to Israelites. So the Israelites is our example. And we can learn from their mistakes and how they interact with God. So, you could learn about God by watching somebody else. That's why God wants examples in front of us. He wants us to have. So God made a way through the desert and also the sea to get them to the promised land. This same God is our God today. Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God He's the same faithful God who will always help you in your time of need. He'll help you through any bad situation that is occurring right now in your life. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 43:19 says this, the prophet Isaiah, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. That's what he's talking about there over there, those Israelites. And he's talking about that situation and you and me that are facing dire situations in our own lives, that you have a sea in front of you. You also have, the desert that you're walking through, and a desert place is not a good place to be. There's no Coca-Cola there. And pizza or anything like that is something you like. So God is a faithful God. He's faithful to them. He said he's going to do what he did, so he saved the people and helped them all out. Notice within 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, during a test and trial that you might be experiencing, the Apostle Paul said this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There had no temptation taken you but as such as common to man. Anything that you're going through is not so unique in your life that God has never seen it before or other people have experienced in their lives. Somewhere or another, your experience has also been experienced by somebody else. Might always be the same, but it's the same bad devil and same bad situations that occur to everybody. Glory to God. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Is this too heavy? Okay, good. There had no temptation that taken you, but as such as common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Come on, use your voice. Say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. The word suffer means to allow you. He's not going to allow you to be so tempted that you cannot stand it, you break and give in to whatever temptation. The temptation could be anything, any trial, any trouble, any kind of hardship in your life. He will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but with the temptation, also make a way of escape. So I want you to think about for a second that any trouble you have right now, that there is a way of escape. Everybody say, there is a way of escape.
There is a way of escape.
There's a way to escape that you may be able to bear this situation. That, you know, there's you and God together are a great team, because no matter what the devil puts on your life, you can bear it. Like, if you don't believe that, get to some more scripture and understand about that, because there's nothing that comes your way that he's going to break you so much to take you out. Everybody say, watch God do it.
Watch God do it.
Say, watch me do it.
Watch me do it.
With God.
With God.
You know, the Bible says in Mark 9:23 that with God all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Not just some things, but all things are possible. Everybody say, all things are possible. Come on, say, all things. All things. It's possible. It's possible for you right now to be in a situation, a place that you always desire to be. Because the Word of God says it. Woo! Glory to God. I had a great prayer time with this Miss lady. She prays a lot. She's one of our prayer warriors. And we pray together, myself and Ernie. I don't know where Ernie is. I'm going to have to capture him. Is he there? There he is, Ernie. We got an appointment tonight. Praise God. I pray with Ernie quite a bit. Not because I choose him, but God pick him. I said, you better pray for Ernie. I said, Ernie, God is doing a new thing. He has a bigger mustache for you. I said, he's doing some big things. Amen. Everybody say, God is a bigger thing. A bigger mustache. That's what I told Ernie. It's a funny thing. We tease each other. I tease him once in a while. We have a good laugh. He didn't expect me to say this. We were just talking. I'm like this, how I am with you outside. I'm the same way, not every way. I guess you'd be thinking I'm crazy, but, you know, you have to be somewhat civil. So notice Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, but Moses told the people, those Israelites. You know, Moses was mad at them lots of times, you know. Don't you ever get mad at people when they're slow? My wife, I get mad at her lots of times. She's slow going into a store or somewhere. She goes to the washroom. She takes her time. She's got to put on my eyelashes, my whatever makeup she puts on. Well, she don't have eyelashes. What do you got on it? I don't know, nothing. You got nothing on today. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. You know, everybody has to get up. They have to put on something. Some people put a wig on and some of their teeth on. I remember one time one of the pastors that used to work with us, you know, he came to church without his teeth on, and his wife had to tell him, you forgot your teeth this morning. And he said, oh yeah, okay. Then he went back home and put his teeth on. I mean, you might laugh about this right now, but you know, you might lose something sometimes too. Okay, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, are you there? But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Everybody say, I'm not afraid. I'm glad. Don't be afraid. Stand still. How many people know that when people are scared, they start to run around? Don't be afraid. Just stand still. You know, watch the Lord rescue you today. Everybody say, watch the Lord. Rescue me today. You know, faith is today. Faith is not tomorrow, oh, sometime I'll be healed, or sometimes, you know, this is going to happen. No, you got to say, thank God I got it right now. Faith is like, I got it now, thank God. Well, how do you got it? Well, I got it. The Word says it. You know, so he says, the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's a new living. So the Egyptians in the scriptures here represent Satan, all his demons, and all the troubles and trials, the sickness, disease, the poverty, whatever it is that's come on your life, if you believe this word. I was really brought to this scripture many years ago by Rodney Howard Brown's brother's wife that came to our church to preach. I don't know if you know Rodney Howard Brown. And one of his brothers did a three-week meeting with us, Holy Ghost meetings. She said she was sick, very sick with something that the Lord gave her the scripture from this 14th chapter. He said that the disease you see have today, you'll not see it again. And she is totally set free. So these are the negative circumstances and situations that you need to get away to a way out of, that you need help in today. The Israelites here in these scriptures represents or is a representative of the church of the living God that whom the devil is pursuing. You know, the devil, the Egyptians were pursuing the Israelites as they're running, racing through down the desert, going over there towards the sea. He's breathing on them a hot breath on them, trying to catch them. Maybe smell like bad coffee or something. I don't know. But, I mean, somebody with a bad coffee breath doesn't smell very good. The Israelites represent the church at large, an individual, any individual who is experiencing trouble in life right now. Like I said, in first, the scripture here, let's go to Romans 15. Let's go and look at Romans 15 for a second, because I had marked it down in my verse of scriptures here, and I didn't give it to the people. So I'm reading the King James Version here. Let's go and look at verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4, the King James. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures have hope. So, you know, it's the scripture, the word of the Lord that comforts you in your trial whenever you're going through a trouble, that you need to hear the word of the Lord. If you have a trouble of any situation right now that you're experiencing, you need to hear the word of the Lord concerning that area in your life. That's the thing that's going to save you and help you. You know, if you're experiencing financial problems, don't study about the last days. Right? You need some financial management and scriptures on prosperity. Right? Because if you're sick of, if you're dying, you have a disease in your body that's going to kill you in 6 months, you don't need to be studying anything else but on healing. Because you won't be around to enjoy anything else. So he says, whatsoever things were written, whatever was written a long, long time ago from the Old Testament, he's talking about. He's talking here to new Christians, believers, and he's looking back to the Old Testament. And all those stories in there are not just to a nice story, but they're there for our learning, our spiritual learning. Romans 15:4, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and through patience and comfort of those scriptures that were written might have hope. We sang about hope this morning, this evening, about hope. You know, hope in the scriptures is not the same as hope in the natural. Hope is usually a maybe. It might occur. Hope in the scriptures is something definite that's going to happen. But it's not happening now, but it will happen. Hope is confident expectation. Everybody say, hope is confident expectation. In other words, anything that you can find in the Bible will happen, will eventually happen. You might not have it right now, but it's going to happen. Your faith is a substance of things hoped for. Your faith will bring the thing that you're dreaming about, wanting to dream. You know, you without any faith, your dream is dead. So that's why you got to go to the scripture and comfort yourself about what the scripture says about your healing, about your marriage, about your children, about your church, about your ministry, about your life, or anything else. Get scriptures that cover your case. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. I want us to go to another scripture. I'm not going to be sure if I can finish this lesson tonight. I thought I wrote just a little bit. Are you doing okay? We might have to take this up Sunday morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, he's talking to another church of people. He was talking to the Roman Christians. Now he's talking to the Corinthian Christians. You know, he established these people that he was their man of God. The Bible tells you to believe you're a man of God. You got to respect the man of God. If you don't respect the man of God, you're not going to get nothing. I'm serious. I mean, you might not like me in the sense that, you know, how I look you're looking at, but you got to respect the gift of God that's on my life, and you're going to get something. If you just look at me and say, that's just Roma, you're missing the whole point. You know, I'm a ministry gift. According to Scripture, I'm a ministry gift. God sent me as a gift to you. I'm not trying to kill you. Did you find 1 Corinthians 10? Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. See, God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant means without knowledge, void of knowledge, or uneducated about spiritual matters. How that all the fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. See, we're talking about the same thing. All were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat. They all did drink in the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Like, you know, you need to learn how to act in a wilderness. Amen. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after these, what they lusted after. Go to verse 11. Now, all these things, everybody say all these things. All these things happen unto them for examples, that they're written for admonitions upon whom the ends of the world should come. And, you know, we read the scripture earlier about no temptation has overtaken you. Such is common to man. So there's things that are in the Old Testament written for us that we can learn from anybody's life in the scriptures, or any group of people in the scriptures, as our example. So they were told in the scriptures we read before, previously, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, they were told, don't be afraid. You know, fear will paralyze a person. It'll stop you in your track from doing any project that God has given you. It'll stop you from venturing out into an area where God wants you, or venture out into an area that, you know, that you need it, that God's leading you. Fear will tell you, don't do it. No one's ever done that before. And how are you going to do it? How are you going to fund that? How are you going to do that? No, you know, don't step out in ministry. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't buy this. Whatever. Because you said it's never been done before. Everybody say, watch me. Watch me. So when you're with God, you can say that, watch the salvation of the Lord in my life. Fear paralyzes, but faith will liberate you. It liberates you into the things of God that you can carry on with you in your life. We're not to be afraid one second about what the enemy wants to do or could do in your life. We're not to be afraid. Because he said, fear not. Even when we're being pursued by the enemy, when we know the enemy has been active in our lives, we should not be afraid. Everybody say, I'm not afraid of the devil. Say, I'm not afraid of the dark. Well, a little bit, I get a little bit scared. So I'm just a little bit, right? Last time I stubbed my toe. I remember when I was in Bible school in Tulsa, and I came home to a fall conference in Thunder Bay, and I stayed with one of the guys in the church, and I've never lived in their house before, so he took me to his house, and I fell asleep. I was so tired, and I went to my room there, and I went to sleep. It was pitch black in that house. Well, you know what happened. I woke up in the middle of the night wondering where I was. And it was pitch dark, and I'd been traveling because I didn't know which city I was, what town I was. I woke up, I looked around, and I panicked because I couldn't see one bit of light. I don't know if I thought I was in hell or what, but I was afraid. So I jumped out of the bed, run smack right into the wall, and try to feel my way as quickly as I could to try to find a light. And eventually, I found myself in a hallway, gasping with anxiety. But none of you has ever done that. That's the truth. He might be hot on your trail tonight, but thank God there's a way out. They were commanded, the next thing they were commanded, and from that those verses of scriptures that we read in our example there over here in Exodus 14, the next thing they were told is to be still. They were commanded to be still. There are times in your life you just have to stand still and do nothing, just by faith stand, because everything's already been taken care of. Because sometimes God will tell you to do something. God will tell you sometimes, just stay calm, don't do anything, just watch me do something. Even in great times of opposition and discouragement, sometimes you just have to stay calm and just say, thank God, he's taken care of it. Did you know that every trial that you're experiencing, God already prepared a way for you? Watch the Lord rescue you. You will witness the fall of all your enemies. He says, the Egyptians you see today, the troubles and trials and the sickness and all the trouble and catastrophes that you are experiencing today, the Bible says, when you believe God and you walk with him, you stay calm, don't fear, you will see it no more. If you're not afraid of cancer, if you're not afraid of addictions, if you're not afraid of poverty, not afraid of failure, they will go away, praise God. They will go away. The Bible says the Lord himself will fight for you. We have to learn to trust God. Here's a scripture we often read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, King James. Trust in the Lord. Listen, you cannot trust the Lord until you know what thus said the Lord. You have to understand there's two ways God speaks to us. Is number one, through the written word of God. Secondly, by his Holy Spirit that speaks out inside of you. Those two will match. Are you getting something out of this tonight? I'm glad you came because something's being dispersed. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He didn't say trust your head about the situation. We always try to figure things out our own way because we're so, haughty and proud because we don't even let God in on things in our lives. Lean not on your own understanding, he says. That your understanding is your own mind. In all your ways, that means in every spirit, soul, and body in your life, acknowledge God in those areas, and he will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes, the Lord says. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, the Lord reminded me, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on understanding. Proverbs 3:6. Then it also talks about in there, the latter verses says this, bring all your substance to the Lord. Give the tithe to God. He's talking about trusting God. You cannot trust God, and if you don't tithe, it talks about not trusting God in all your ways. I've learned that in my own life. And this is a big area for a lot of people. They don't trust God. They're trusting their money to get them out of trouble. If you cannot really trust God with 10% of your life, you're surely not going to trust Him healing you from cancer or getting your kids out of mess. You're always going to have to go to the natural resources, and we're going to find there's going to be nothing there one of those times. Read the scriptures. Read the whole thing, the context of the Bible there. The Lord reminded me of that today again, the trust of the Lord. You know, like sometimes we only trust in the resources. We say, you know, we all can be happy only when all our resources are intact and everything's going right in your family, you know. So we need to learn to press in and thank God anytime, all the time. Thank God. I'll calm down in a minute. So we don't be afraid, number one. Number two, stand still. Because sometimes people run around with like a chicken with their head cut off. There are times you just have to stand still, as we said. Faith in the Word. Put the whole trust in the Word of God that He's going to do it. He said He's going to do what He said He's going to do. And then He says, watch the Lord rescue you. You will witness the fall of all your enemies, the Scripture says. So you have to watch. If you're going to watch the Lord rescue you, you're going to have to see that the Word of God is going to work for you. And the Holy Spirit and all the angels of God that are moving, getting things in place. And, you know, by faith, you see the Egyptians today, the Egyptian you see today, you will see no more. We have to learn that this is the way it is. So it's learning to trust in the Lord, not in your understanding. We have to be able to trust His mercy in every situation, that He will help us, just like Jehoshaphat and all the Israelites did when they were attacked by three large armies. They were unable to respond in fashion to attack back or to protect themselves. But they didn't even have strength to fight against those three armies that Israelites did. They didn't know how to attack back. So they were in a situation where they couldn't even help themselves. So, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, it says he was praying after he prayed, God, aren't you the same God of our ancestors? What he rehearsed to God, he brought his case before God. You know, Isaiah says, present your case before God. When you're having a hard time, present your case towards God. Tell him why. Argue like you would a lawyer before court. Tell him why something should happen in your life. And so he begins to go before God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. He says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? That's talking about those armies. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Now, there are problems and situations that you cannot handle on your own without God's intervention. And don't wait for the last second. He says, neither do we know what to do. Then he says this, but our eyes are on you. So three statements that are true in there. Number one, we don't have any strength. In other words, we don't have any human way to get out of this problem that we're living in right now. Two, we don't have any information, any knowledge of what to do, the first thing to do. And three, their response was, Lord, because of those two previous statements, number two, our eyes, our faith will be put on you. Because if you have a problem that you cannot solve, you're going to have to look for divine intervention when the doctor says that's it for you. Then in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, the Bible says that right there they needed to put absolute trust in God's mercy. Notice what they said later in praise just before the battle. You got to learn to praise God before the battle. Not cry and complain that life's so hard. Everybody has it hard. We just finished reading that What you're experiencing is not, you're not the only one having the same trouble. Praise God. I'll back off just a little. Verse 21, he says, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They were commanded to say that. When you have trouble, make sure you put your faith in the mercy of God, because there's nothing you can do on your own. You might not need this message today, but sooner or later, someone in your life is about to die, and you're going to have to put your trust in God and get them to put their trust in God. Sooner or later, you're not going to have enough money for that house that you bought or that marriage thing you're going through. You're going to have to say, God, put this back together by your mercy. Put it back together. Put my life back together. Glory to God. God will make a way. Now, Exodus 14, 10 to 12, they were full of fear as they were looking back at the enemy. You can't be looking at the enemy and be full of faith. You can't be looking at the symptoms and all the circumstances and pull yourself out of the trouble. I'm looking this way for some reason. I don't know why I can't look this way. Maybe I should be looking this way. Maybe you, some of you here, some are needed over here. I'm going to get through this message. They were full of fear as they looked back. So you cannot get strong looking back at the circumstances the enemy brought in your life. There are times you may need someone to tell you and slap you out of that and stop telling you to, you know, stop being so fearful. Keep your eyes on the answer. Exodus chapter 14, 10 to 12. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, Israel looked up and panicked. When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here in the desert, Moses? Why did you bring us out in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? They're very sarcastic. What have you done to us? So next thing, they start blaming this man who's supposed to be their savior. Who is their savior? He's trying to help them. You ever notice that? Sometimes the people you're trying to help, they're looking at you as an enemy. I'm still looking this way. He says, why did you make us leave Egypt? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Why did you make us leave Egypt? The world system. You know, leaving Egypt, some people have said this, you've heard this said before, it's easy to get a person out of Egypt, but it's hard to get Egypt out of them. Because no matter where you go, you always take you with you. He said, leave us alone. Didn't we tell you, he says, this would happen while we were still in Egypt? Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better for us to be slaves in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness. See, they're thinking things out of their own head. And they're trying to solve this thing in their own head, like y'all been doing about every situation that's come in your life. We've all been there. This is the counsel of God's word. God will untie the knots in your life. The enemy will put knots in your life. Right in front of you, you'll have to decide to obey God and march on without letting fear challenge you. No matter what he tries to put before you, we have to move on with God. He says we have to put our trust in him. Fear knots. It's how God unties the knots of the enemy. Fear knots is how God unties the knots in the enemy. He's got, you know, someone says for every day of the year, there's a fear knot in the scripture. And, you know, there's the first thing that the man of God tell him when they're having trouble. He says, don't fear not. He didn't say, hey, boys, I tell you, it's looking really bad. Pharaoh's getting really close. I could hear his army coming. And listen, I know some of you's heads going to be chopped off soon. And I just pray that, none of us will get hurt too much. So that's the way they figured it out, see? So the fear knots in Scripture will untie every knot of the enemy. It'll make you look, better. There, we need to see what the Psalm 23 verse 4 says, I will fear no evil. No matter what evil he says he's going to bring to you. Here's Isaiah 41:10. He says, do not fear anything. Amplified. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take a hold of you with my righteous right hand. A hand of justice, a hand of power, and a hand of victory, of salvation. That's God speaking to us. Do not fear Satan. We should not fear the devil because he's been defeated by Jesus. When you were dead in your sins, the Bible says over here, Colossians chapter 2:13. When you were dead in your sins and your trespasses in your flesh, world in this manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed it by nailing it to the cross. Verse 15 is the punchline for us here. Verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities of those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. Notice this. Don't fear someone who can't hurt you. He's been reduced to zero concerning your life with Jesus and Christ Jesus. Jesus already took care of the situation. He's made a way out of every situation, every trial that you're facing right now. There are times when you need to stand, and other times you need to move on. If you need to move on, move on. If you need to stand in your problem right now, you need to stand. Don't give up. Philippians says, chapter 3, verse 13 to 16, he says, one thing I do, forgetting the past, looking forward for what lies ahead of me, I press to reach the end of the race. The latter section of verse 16, but we must hold on, Philippians 3:16. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. You will never write your book if you give up now. What if Paul gave up in the very first time he was attacked, when he had a vision and he went to Macedonia and he preached the gospel there, and he was thrown in jail because he cast the devil out of someone who had a business of divination from getting information from a young lady. He was thrown in jail. What if he said, this is it, guys. This is too hard for me. Somebody said you would have a very short New Testament. Yeah. So some of you are trying to quit in the middle of a time where you're not supposed to quit. I'm talking to you right now because there's something in here that some people need to hear about this. You can quit. You can quit. Glory to God. I'm going to be finished in a couple of seconds here. This whole world is groaning right now for God's return. Romans 8:22 says all creation is groaning. Everything is groaning. The sea, the animals, everything. That's why we have animals at our back door every couple of weeks. We had three little fawns coming at my door. Oh, little fawn. And we saw a big one standing outside there yesterday. What a spectacular scene. They have little dots all over them, just like Bambi. The whole creation groans for God's coming. Right now we're under the curse of the fall. But because of Jesus Christ, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, not the fall. There's all kinds of things going wrong in the world, but you're redeemed from the curse of the law. You're living in an imperfect world with imperfect people. So we need to live, and we can't quit because Jesus has a way out. And I have to quit right now. This is far too much. I can't take it anymore. Right now, you have to see there's a way out for you. Is there a way out for you? Is Jesus the way? He said, I'm the way. Praise God. Let's go to him in prayer as we close. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank God the service is over. I'm not going to choke you with all the word. I mean, this, I got lots of stuff in there, man. This, it's getting gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. Amen. You enjoy that?
Yes.
Praise God. That's good. That's the word of God, man. The Lord is sweet. Hallelujah. Let's thank God. Father, we want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus.